Hello and welcome to Faith and Fitness Magazine. We've got an exciting conversation today as I talk with Rebecca Schingeldecker from Fort Worth, Texas. Rebecca has competed in the CrossFit Games in a relatively new category. And I'm going to just ask you, Rebecca, would you go ahead and share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I had the honor and blessing to be one of the first five in the women's division for the neuromuscular division. And in 2021, that was the first year that they had adaptive athletes in there. It's the it's the Super Bowl or the Olympics of CrossFit. So it's a really big deal. So I was I had the honor of being only one of five in the world to be able to do that.
Awesome. I want to begin this conversation just by asking you, what are your goals and big wishes for this year?
I am, because of all the stuff that I've been through, my goals are to try and get, because my back, and I'm also been working through a major back in surgery and injury. And so my goal is to get all into the competing, and I'm hoping to qualify to go to Barcelona, Spain, to compete at they call it the Wadcelona, and then go back to the Wheel Wad Games in December in Raleigh, North Carolina. I did that this in 2022, and I got third. So so that's really exciting. And continue the grief journey and see what God has for me.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. Well, boy, when you get to Barcelona, you'll have to take some pictures and record some journaling, because we have our other magazine, MAP, a travel lifestyle magazine, and that would definitely be quite the travel adventure, I'm sure. So,
well, yeah.
Go ahead, Rebecca, and let's get into the heart of your story. And the other day that we were just briefly talking, you sort of gave me an incremental timeline of this and then this and this. I'm going to sort of begin the timeline, though, by saying that the story that I found online from some CrossFit organization, maybe it was CrossFit itself, but it was an article that did an interview with you talking about the brain tumor that you had. So if you would, let's begin at that point, and then you can go ahead and share with our readers how that was just the beginning.
Oh yeah. You know, I had said from the, like when I was saved many years ago, that I asked God to use my story in my life however he wanted. And I had no idea what a wild ride that would be. His March, well, so leading up to March 14th of 2018, I had four headaches. They were like an ice pick to my head, but they only lasted for a minute. And eventually it led me to going to the doctor, because I was having stroke-like symptoms and stuff like that. And it led me to get an MRI, which found a golf ball size tumor on the strength portion of my brain. The motor control center is what they call it, in the left frontal lobe. And so I found out March 14th, 2018, the same day as I got my CrossFit coaching certificate in the mail, and also my daughter's birthday. So it was ironic, because in that day I was determined to fight it, and that I wasn't going to let this define me or beat me. Because, you know, you hear brain tumor and you're like, I'm going to die, you know, or something, you know. And I think maybe God just used my stubborn redheadedness, but I took on the motto that said, take the sourest lemon life has to offer and turn it into something resembling lemonade. And little did I know that that would be the rest of my life.
Yeah. Wow. Two follow-up questions I want to ask you just about that moment that you found out. One is, can you describe what that was like? And then secondly, if you would, I think a lot of times people think, oh, gee, if she just hadn't done such a vigorous sport like CrossFit, maybe she wouldn't have been in some, you know, such a dramatic health situation.
Well, in fact, so I just started CrossFit in the spring of 2017. I had run about 14 marathons before that. So I'm not new to extreme extreme sports. And, you know, unrelated. My husband and I were EMTs in Michigan on the fire department for about 12 years. So I guess you could call me adrenaline junkie. And that service, having seen the worst in life and death, I think helped prepare, because we get really good at compartmentalizing things to survive, you know, and so I didn't really have, I'm not your typical woman, I suppose, but like, I didn't have the breakdown moment. In fact, I didn't cry, and I don't even know that I cried until, like, actually, I don't even know that I did. I just was determined, and I'm stubborn. That's what I think most people would say that know me. I was just determined to not let this define me and to beat it. I always love a challenge, and I sure got one, because I was also naive and thinking, you know, because the doctor thought that it would be a fairly routine as far as brain surgeries go. And to answer your question, he, in fact, well, later on in the story, all the professionals will say that CrossFit actually saved my life. We know God saved it, but like, he used CrossFit to save my life because of the strength I had, physical strength I had built up. And you know, the anesthesiologist and all them said that had I been in not as good of shape, I may not have even survived, because I also have asthma. I've had asthma since I was one. So all those are complicating factors.
So tell me then, from the moment that you got the diagnosis, was it months before you actually went in to have surgery?
No, actually it was, so I found out March 14th, and then I had surgery on March 30th, which I don't believe in coincidences. So it was Good Friday, and it was crazy, because then I know I'm not trying to jump ahead, but on Easter Sunday, so 2 days, well, 2 or 3 days later, I woke up paralyzed. And so it was like the old life died and the new life started on Easter Sunday. And so, that completely changed, because that's the, what?
Were you told that the paralyzation would be permanent, temporary, nobody knew what?
Well, so the thing is that they didn't, you know how any surgery you have, even tonsillectomies, routine surgeries, there's a slight possibility of death. So they go through all the potential side effects, and paralysis was one of the potential side effects, but it was like the doctor even said it was so slim of a chance, it was like next to death, you know? And so, but I always like to defy the odds, and I got it. So,
how quickly did you recover from it?
Well, that's the another thing, is that because I bought myself, like, that moment when I woke up paralyzed, it all panic ensued, and they started doing all sorts of heroic stuff, but I ended up with many more days in the hospital, and then I had to relearn to walk. I had to relearn all these things. And so I bought myself a couple weeks in inpatient rehab, and then years of outpatient rehab. It was a quite the long process. I was very naive. Yeah.
So, but eventually you did start to recover. And how long was it before you actually, from the time you had the surgery until you actually walked back into a CrossFit box?
Oh, I was back in my CrossFit box when I was still on my walker. So So I would say once I got out of, actually, once I they let me go out of inpatient rehab, I had a friend, because there was like a 2-day period before I started intense outpatient. Like it was 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. The short bus came to pick me up. And so there was a day before that, my friend came and picked me up and took me to the gym. And so I was doing stuff. There's videos on my YouTube of I was doing stuff. Even when I couldn't walk, I was doing squats, and it was funny.
Wow. Oh, so you actually had a pretty quick recovery, all things considered. So that was it then, and no problems since then, right?
Oh, if only. Yes, I've had lots of problems since then. I feel like God has had allowed me my naivete, because had we known all the stuff that's going to happen in our life in one moment, we'd probably say, yeah, I'm out, you know.
Rebecca was thankful for her successful brain surgery. Now back at her CrossFit box, she was on the road to recovery. Like anyone would be, she was ready for God to give her a season of goodness. All she wanted was some normalcy in her life, at least as normal as life can be as an adaptive athlete. After a brief break, when we return, she shares what it means to muscle up in Christ. I'm Brad Bloom, and this is Faith and Fitness Magazine.
So we created the Farm to Flourish program, where we said, how can we help our youth who are disadvantaged, coming from refugee backgrounds, and having a really hard time finding work? And how can we use that as an opportunity for them to come in to learn about gardening, but then to use that skill and their desire to grow as gardeners to now connect the church to sort of other people within, yeah, exactly. And so the farm then becomes this way of weaving together the different people at our church that, you know, after service, when you're hanging out and you're talking to people, some conversations are easier than other conversations. Whereas a farm can bring people together that are dramatically different, which is what the church was supposed to do.
What happened next?
So September of 2018, about, was it 5 months after surgery, I was in the middle car of a 3-car accident. Somebody hit me from behind and pushed me into the car in front of me. And that caused a brain injury, a concussion. And because I was so susceptible to it because of my recent brain surgery. And then 6 months after that, which was a year from surgery, so around April of 2019, I dropped a 65-pound barbell on my head because my right side was the paralyzed side. And so sometimes it just does what it wants to do or doesn't want to do. And so it just let go when I had weight overhead, and it dropped on my head and caused another brain injury, which was the worst. And so basically I'm pretty much in CTE viewers, readers.
Yeah. Well, so I would think that would maybe, knowing that you have the potential to drop a barbell when you've got it over your head, would be a reason that some people would say it's time to give this up. I the risk is too great.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think, my neurosurgeon knows all about this stuff. I mean, he actually operated on my back in March. So he knows. And he also knows that life is meant to be lived, and we could die anytime. So I don't take some people would say all I do is unnecessary risks, but I don't do stuff like going upside down. Like there's certain things that we do in CrossFit that is extremely unnecessary for me. So I do some smart things.
Well, good, good. So after the barbell fell on you and you had that injury, go ahead and continue the story as to what was next.
So I thought that the brain stuff was the worst thing that I'd ever go through. And then December 27th, 2021, we had at that point, she was a 1 year old granddaughter. So her mom was working. And so we took her to the gym. My husband started to do CrossFit a few months after my brain tumor surgery, and he ran a mile and did other stuff and sat down and was playing with our granddaughter. And then all of a sudden I had my back turned, and all of a sudden my friends yelled, "Roger," you know, and he ended up going into cardiac arrest there on the gym floor. And 12 days later, after an intense fight for his life, I never talked to him again after December. After he went into cardiac arrest, I never heard his voice again. But he died on January 7th, 2022. Yep, he was 49 years old. We were together 30 years since I was 15, and he was 18. We got married April 11th of 1992. So we were almost 30 years married.
So I want to ask you, first of all, let me say, I'm so sorry to hear that. It was when I first found out about that, I was like, wow, this is not just bad luck, if you will, or you know, the tumor, but this is like a double whammy. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to believe that anybody would be dealt such a set of cards. And I guess before I ask you the question that I was going to ask, I want to ask you, a lot of people would hear things like this, and the classic response is, there can't be a God. God would not do this to people. This is just evidence that there isn't a God.
Yeah. And you know what? If this hasn't taught me anything, it's humility, and that I can't judge other people's reactions, but like, I can tell you that the grace of God has helped me to survive. There is no other explanation, none. And so, for me, I have never felt God's presence as much as I did in that hospital room, and just the things that he did. And he never promised, he's never promised to make our life easy. And you know, I feel like when he was laying in that bed, and I knew there's a story that goes behind, and I won't get into it, but I knew that he was in my heart, that he was going to die from the second day when I had to go say goodbye, what I thought was goodbye the first time. I knew he wasn't coming back. And I felt like, I said, God, if you are going to take him, or if you're going to make us go through this, then that was my only demand, is like, you need to be glorified through this, and you need to make, you know, show yourself wonderful through this story. And I believe he did that, and in spite of me.
Let me ask you, Rebecca, I think as people listen to your story and they start to, you know, if they dare to visualize what they would do, what would I do? You know, if they ask, what would I do in her situation? I think it would be real easy for a lot of us to say, I'm going to get angry. I'm going to go into myself. I'm going to just be totally lost. There had to be any number of ways that you would have responded in terms of, all I wanted was to be able to live life happily, or to go to Barcelona with Roger, or whatever that might be. And I'm curious, how did you start to get to the point? Was it quickly, or was it gradually, or whatever, where you wanted God to be glorified?
I'm not super Christian, so I'm not going to say, but it was immediate. I knew that I had to make that decision right then and right there, that I was, well, God had also set me up because of the previous, since 2018, I have suffered, you know, I've learned to suffer well. And I wouldn't say I've done it well all the time. I just mean like God is with us in the suffering, and I've learned continued suffering. That's kind of what has been for me. And so, I think that my first instinct, of course, was I know you can do miracles, and I'm believing you. Because even when I thought in my heart that he was going to die, I still prayed for a miracle every day. Still asked everyone to pray because I knew. I would call him. We had 2 hours together every day. That's all that they would allow. And when he was in the ICU, and so I would call him our hospital dates, you know, I would pray, listen, have him listen to music, worship music, read him scripture. You know, we read the Lazarus story over and over, you know, and because I know God isn't a respecter of persons. What he did for one, he can do for another. And I believed that I knew that he was going to get healing one way or the other. And so, And that I think that's probably where my greatest comfort was, is I knew healing was coming for him, whether it was here like I wanted him to, or if it was healing with Jesus. And he's luckier than you and I. So
I want to ask you a question, Rebecca, and we're getting close to finishing up here. Is you just said something that I think it struck me, and I'd like for you to sort of dig into it a bit and give a little insight, hopefully, to our readers. You said, I'm not a super Christian. I think there's a lot of us that feel that way, and a lot of us that presume that there's a level to reach, you know, sort of like in CrossFit. You're not a level 5 CrossFitter, but that doesn't mean that you just give up on doing CrossFit. And I'm curious what you've learned as you've gained confidence in being able to say, I'm not a super Christian.
Yeah. And you know, some things you really, I feel like there's some levels of knowledge that you only learn in certain situations. And I kind of was a little bit legalistic, or at least from experiences that I had before. But I have learned that I believe there's no greater grace that God has for people than the sufferers. And when we're suffering and we go to him, I believe that he just has grace. And I really haven't felt any pressure from him to be a certain way or whatever. In fact, it's more pressure I feel is from myself and from other people, but from him, he just wants us to come to him in everything that we are or not, you know?
Sure. Let me ask you, what is it that you desire in your walk with God and in life?
Well, I want him to be glorified in all of my mess. I call it a train wreck, dumpster fire of a story. You know, I want anybody that can hear my story. I'll tell anybody my story, and heck, we only have 30 minutes, so it barely touches the surface. But I want, I just want him to be glorified and him to be magnified in, you know, I don't know that if I'm not going to have more suffering, you know, I a couple months later after Roger died, my back blew out. I had a major back surgery, the worst physical pain I've ever been in my entire life. And so you would think that would be the end, but I don't know that it's going to be the end of my suffering, but I want to cling to him.
Sort of spin it the other way then and ask, what do you feel as in your prayer time, as you talk with God, that God desires of you?
just to come to him like a child. And really, that's something that a lot of the suffering has taught me, because I have had nothing, nothing. And to be honest with him, and so that's something the suffering teaches you. I mean, it's like a nakedness, you know, because I have had, I've been on display, like all my junk has been on display for people, but it's more so with God. I mean, like he sees it all, and he knows the position of your heart and what's going on. So be honest, you know.
Awesome. Well, I've been speaking today with Rebecca Shingledecker. She's a CrossFit athlete from Fort Worth, Texas, a brain tumor survivor. And also, more recently, she lost the love of her life, Roger Shingledecker, a former military veteran. So, Rebecca, we really appreciate you sharing with our Faith and Fitness Magazine community. And I encourage people to reach out to Rebecca. Let her know that you've heard her story. Dig into it deeper here in the magazine. Share it with other people that can benefit from the encouraging word. And let's go ahead and continue to lift God up and desire God fully. Rebecca, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.